live from Australia, from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious Bill Show Studios. It's time for the Bill Show Politics This Week. And now, here are your hosts, Bill and Randy.
Welcome to show 259, ladies and gentlemen. And
hi, guys.
What's been going on? Anything?
Every day.
Jeez,
every day.
Man. Oh, Christ.
Total distraction. Total distraction.
Well, it's not distraction. It's
destruction.
It's astounding what has been happening in the last couple of days in politics. And in America, I mean, just like the West Coast is on fire, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, well, that happens all the time. But it's also snowing just a few miles to the east.
I know. And it's just like, you know, it's climate change, man.
That's a hoax. I'm sorry.
It's not. Why do you say these things?
Just like when COVID. You know, I'm devil's advocate. It'll be gone by April.
It'll be gone by April. Climate change will be gone by April, I promise. Speaking of which, folks.
I don't want to create panic.
No. Yes, folks, in the last week, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a very, very interesting time in America. 800,000 Americans applied for unemployment. And that's only good when it comes down from, you know, a million. And the Trump campaign spent most of this week proving that the Trump administration is composed of veteran-hating, America-hating psychopaths, which, of course, you did know. Just as the assassin-in-chief was making an issue defending a 17-year-old hick who was driven by his mother with an AR-15 to shoot and kill two people, we found out. Don't get me started on this bitch. Fuck that. And we also found out that the president doesn't just get off on, you know, coffee and cake with murdering mass murderers. He actually is a mass murderer. And I really believe that. There is absolutely nothing funny about what we learned today from Woodward's book.
Yeah.
Evidently, Trump didn't just shoot at some people in Central Park or Park Avenue.
He brought Avenue, yeah.
Thousands of others and just killed them.
Yeah, 200,000. It's coming up now.
Yeah, I know. 900,000?
200,000 dead.
200,000 dead. Yep. You're doing a fine
job. Oh, and happy 9/11 or 11/9 as it is down here.
Oh, it's amazing. Listen, I just want to kind of touch base with what was actually revealed in Woodward's book. So this is a clip from the Rachel Maddow show. Let's have a listen to this, Randy.
What he was saying in an interview with Woodward all the way back on February 7th.
It goes through air, Bob. That's always tougher than the touch. You know, the touch, you don't have to touch things, right? But the air, you just breathe the air. That's how it's passed. And so that's a very tricky one. That's a very delicate one. It's also more deadly than your strenuous flus. You know, people don't realize we lose 25,000, 30,000 people a year here. Who would ever think that, right?
I know.
It's pretty amazing. And then I say, well, is that the same thing? This is more deadly. This is 5% versus 1% and less than 1%. You know, so this is deadly stuff.
This is deadly stuff. President Trump, a recorded interview with Bob Woodward on February 7th, very early, explicitly acknowledging that the coronavirus is way more deadly than the flu. Quote, this is deadly stuff.
That was in February, man.
Yeah.
That was in February.
Yeah, and there were very, very few recorded deaths.
No, there were very few recorded deaths, and it goes on. I'm going to play a little bit that she refers to. But this guy was calling for people to go to stuffed conventions. he was actually telling people, no, no, let's stuff them all together down in Tulsa, because he wanted the place to look crowded, even though he knew that this is deadly stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a shit about you. He doesn't care.
He did. He never did.
If he could kill you, he would.
In February, right, we have only 15 coronavirus cases. This is so much less serious than the flu, right? Then the very next day, it was this.
It's going to disappear. One day, it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
Lying
sack. A couple weeks later, he's back on the phone with Bob Woodward, not only talking more about how COVID is super serious, but admitting to Woodward explicitly that he likes to play down its seriousness in public.
Now it's turning out it's not just old people, Bob, which is today and yesterday. Some startling facts came out. It's not just older young people, to plenty of young people. I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
Yeah, that's right. He still wants to play it down, folks. And by the way, what he also wants to do is he wants your kids to go back to school.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
There's 100,000.
Fuck
them. Yeah.
What does this guy have to do? You know, and I will bet you that there's still going to be like 42% of the vote that's going to be out there going,
I don't know. I still think he's got a thing to say. You know what? You know,
he doesn't like the same people we don't like.
But why isn't it registering? Why is this constant strain that just tells you over and over this guy? Well, I mean, this guy is guilty of negligent homicide. Straight up.
200,000 people.
200,000 people are dead. And we had this guy sitting there talking about, you know, oxychloroquine and shit. And we find out that he knew all along how severe it was going to be. He didn't want, and what was the motivation for this? He didn't want the stock market to go down.
He didn't want to panic.
No, I didn't give a shit about panic. Do you think that Donald Trump gives a shit about panic? Or violence or anything like that? I mean,
well, there's 200,000 very cool and calm people now.
Yeah, everybody's really calm now. Thank God you're here, Donnie. The thing is that he didn't want the stock market to go down. And that trumped, so to speak, whether or not people were actually going to matter. And they just didn't. So, fantastic old thing for Donnie. Thank you, Donnie. How wonderful.
Yeah.
I was sitting there thinking the other day that, you know, Hitler has got to be down in hell going,
you know, guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, really, seriously, if there was an Oscar nomination for, you know, murderer, you know, mass murderer, I think he'd be in with a chance. I think he would, you know?
Yeah, I think so, too.
And the nominees are Pol Pot, Charles Manson, Mao Zedong, and Donald Trump.
And John Wayne. Yeah.
Hey, put on your dark glasses. You can be Jack Nicholson in the front row at the Mass Murderers Oscar.
No, I want to do
it. Hey, Jack, how you going?
I'm just...
I'd like to thank God and everybody that made me a vicious criminal psychopath. Thank you very much. Okay, now, Randy, naturally when this happened, where basically Donnie admitted to the fact that he committed negligent genocide, someone had to go out and talk to the press about this.
Yeah.
Hence, ladies and gentlemen, Louisiana Congressman John Kennedy, who had, I swear to God, this guy was from Mayberry. He's been...
Did he pick the short straw, did he?
He used to be like a Democrat. He was a Democrat in Louisiana. And he ran like three times as a Democrat, and he found out that he couldn't win as a Democrat in Louisiana, so he switched parties. And now he's a freshman senator from Louisiana who kind of he kind of he's a lawyer, and he kind of likes he gets the Matlock vote. You know, he gets that Matlock vote. All you know, I ain't nothing but an old country doctor, but I believe, you know. And it's just horseshit from beginning to end with this guy. And now the Shitmeister, John Kennedy, and I'm really upset that he has that name. It really does bother me. John Kennedy brought that Mayberry to kind of, gee, I'm not going to react to the fact that my boss is a mass murderer. So, ladies and gentlemen, the dulcet tones, and I was like, you know, this is a unique time in life, folks, because you get to see real evil, like really evil people doing things in public, looking down the camera lens and lying their fucking ass off.
Yeah.
Here's John Kennedy doing a triple thrust somersault of bullshit. So,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, the immortal and our nominee for asshole of the week, John Kennedy, Matlock.
Senator, President Trump told Bob Woodward the first week of February that he knew the coronavirus could be spread through the air and that it was more deadly than the flu. But 2 weeks later, he said at a rally that coronavirus was the Democrats' new hoax. Is that acceptable to you? Is that misleading the public?
You're talking about the Woodward book?
Yeah.
The Woodward book.
No, the alien that landed on your head.
All I can do
is
share with you my point of view, Pamela.
What is it?
These gotcha books don't really interest me that much.
He's on the record. He's on the
It's a tape.
It's a gotcha book.
No, it's a gotcha. It's a gotcha. I just admitted on tape 3 times that I killed 100,000 people. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. He's only put his teeth in. He should put in his store-bought teeth. He looks terrible. Yeah.
You know, I just love these guys because they lie so well. You know,
yeah. Are we talking about this book?
Shucks and chickens. I don't want no. All right, come on, Jed Clampett, go for it.
These gotcha books don't really interest me that much.
What do you read?
There'll be a new one out tomorrow.
But this is
yes. I think there's one coming out every day. Look, yeah, I know. Look at look at Kennedy now. Look at this. Look at this shot at Kennedy.
A wise guy, eh?
And you know that's John Kennedy thinking to myself, "Geez, I was going to run for governor of Louisiana.
Yeah.
I might not be getting.
I can't even get a cold cup of gumbo now."
Does it hurt, John?
Yeah. He's cornholed. It's a cold cornholing.
Yeah. She's pretty happy about it. I got to say that. You know,
yeah, nice
if I was asking those questions to him right now, I'd be very happy just like her. I'd go, how does it feel to sizzle in your own shit? Okay, come on, John. Bring it home. Bring it home. You can do it. You're a man among men.
Right. He did 18 interviews with Bob Woodward.
18.
Right. So he's recorded. You hear his voice.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that, and you're contrasting that with what he says to the public. Wouldn't that be something of interest to you as a United States senator?
Well, let me answer you again. These gotcha books don't...
It's not a book. It's a tape. It's a phone call. It's a phone call.
I am the programmed Hick 2000 computer. I can only say one thing. Well, by golly, these gotcha phone conversations with people, they're just downright bad.
Interesting. Yeah, me and Andy Griffith were like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, me and Andy Griffith.
Going out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Senator, let me just, I let you talk. I wanted to okay. hear what you had to say. But the bottom line is, he told Bob Woodward privately this was a deadly virus and that it was airborne. Didn't the public, didn't the citizens in your home state of Louisiana deserve to know that as well?
No,
so that
fuck
they
them.
Could change their behavior appropriately to protect themselves?
Well, number one, Pam, I'm not going to repeat what I just said, but all I can tell you is what my personal experience has been. Number two, let me say about this infatuation in Washington with who said what to whom.
Yes, we sat down and planned the final solution. But let's not talk about who said what.
Yeah, who made up that name? I don't know. I don't know who made up that name.
You know, Republicans always have a problem with who said what to whom. You know, Liddy, Haldeman, Ehrlichman. You know, they're always
bad. Nixon had the tapes as well.
And it's always tapes. Why do we know that it'd be tapes?
Yeah. It's not like it was who said who said. He had the tapes as well.
I believe it was Nixon who said, let's not worry about who said what.
Oh, I'm not a crook.
I'm wrong. Okay. Bring it home. You got anything else to say to this lady?
Yeah.
Okay, let's bring it home.
I'm pretty quickly up here.
No, Senator, I'm sorry.
Oh, bloody hell.
This is, I understand there's
get her.
Politics.
Right, yes,
now.
Girl.
We're 2 months away from an election, but this is life and death. You had 5,000 people that have died in Louisiana from coronavirus. Republicans reluctant, as you are now, to ever criticize this president. But as a human being, how can you be okay with this?
Now, let's see now.
Oh,
you qualified this.
It's a gotcha book.
That this fucker is a human being. He's not. He's not. He is a.
How can you be okay with that? How can you be
because
okay with it?
I sold my soul to Satan, you see. I wanted to be a U.S. Senator so badly, I switched parties and signed on with Beelzebub. Mm. Here we go. Let's see, as a human being, how does he feel, Randy? How does this little shit kicker feel? Here we go.
Put your store bought teeth in.
Put your store bought. Come on. Come on, Matlock. Bring it home. Don't disappoint me. Say something really awful.
Well, if I could finish my answer.
Snippy.
I learned in Washington, D.C. I'm sort of existential or Sartrean about Washington, D.C. To be is to act. You learn pretty quickly not to judge people up here by what they say. You have to judge them by what they do.
So what's your point?
It's existential. That means...
No, but yes, you'd have to. And what he did was downplay the whole virus. What he did was make it as difficult as possible to get life-saving equipment to hospitals during that time when he knew the damn virus was lethal. He knew that it was airborne.
And you should wear a mask.
And you should wear a mask. And he was telling people not to wear a mask. Those are things he fucking did, you Gomer Pyle sack of fucking lying shit. Oh, my God.
All I can tell you, Pamela, is what my personal experience has been. And that is that this administration has been very responsive early on. We were the first ones hit after New York, both to the coronavirus and to the damage that we've done to our economy. Now, I understand some people disagree with that, but that's honestly my experience.
Well, shucks.
It's all about the economy.
I want to leave you with that image.
Yeah.
Looking like that and that hunk of shit.
Can I have another refrigerator truck?
And, that piece of shit has got to go. I think the Democrats should say, oh, you think that you're going to go in for a second term? No. This guy should be buried. He is a apostate of Satan. He is defending a man who literally, through his neglect, caused thousands of people to die. He knows he's doing it, and yet he's lying his ass off.
And can I just say, the really sad thing is most of the people who are dying and getting sick are Trump supporters.
That's right, and they don't care.
Florida.
Most of the people that went to the three super spreader events that he has continually.
And all those bikies in North Dakota, whatever it was.
Absolutely.
250,000 infections.
Oh, Jesus, man. So that is the end of our golly. Expression. You look at the lady's expression there. That is the expression I've had for the last fucking 7 years.
Gotcha. My goodness.
This is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite. Good evening, I'm Walter Cronkite. I've been up here in heaven, doing what great former journalists do when they go to heaven. I've been sailing my yacht with JFK on a lovely beach. Sometimes I wear Bermuda shorts. Many times I get tanked and play bridge with Ed Morrow. You know something? He smokes like a chimney now. There's no cancer in heaven. You know, the other day, I turned on my 15-inch black-and-white Zenith TV and watched the CNN interviews with the current presidential nominees. After seeing 2 minutes of watching this Matt Lauer interview his guests, I asked Ernest Hemingway for his shotgun, put it in my mouth, and blew my brain out. Yes, that's right. I sprayed my brains all over my newly painted bedroom. Luckily, here in heaven, you can't commit suicide because you're already dead. But I'll tell you, it gives you a hell of a headache. But let me just say this. You're all fucked in the head. Really. This is Uncle Walter saying you're all fucking insane. I've tossed my television out the window and I'm contemplating doing heroin with Jimi Hendrix after I get tanked with Morrow. So that's the way it is. So long, assholes.
Time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time once again for Randy's Rant.
Hello, Randy.
Hey, Willie.
You have a top three for us that's actually quite serious that you wanted to do today about Americans living overseas. So go for it.
As you and I are good examples. Yes, a record number of people are giving up their U.S. citizenship, which is used to be one of the hardest in the world to get. Now, to be fair, these are mainly people that already have left America and live overseas, like you and I.
Yeah.
Now, they've just decided they've had enough. There are four main reasons. They've so cut the top four reasons
that expats are leaving.
Yeah, are giving up their U.S. citizenship, which costs some money, too. Now, the four main reasons are, number one, you guessed it, they've had enough of Donald Trump.
Yeah, and that's true.
That's the next four as well.
Yeah.
Number two, the handling of the pandemic. Three times as many Americans have died of COVID-19 that were killed in the Vietnam War, and that's in 6 months. Current foreign policy. America is no longer the world's policeman. They are no longer the leader of the free world.
No.
It's now France, Germany, and Canada. Mm. And people look to them for comment.
Yeah.
And the U.S. taxation requirements. Mm. Only two countries in the world require citizens to file returns, show all their bank accounts, all their pensions, everything that has to deal with income to the U.S. government, even though they don't live there or earn a single dollar there. Play the clip, because you'll actually see that the numbers are doubling. They've doubled in 6 months. Have a play of this little clip.
Let's have a look at the clip, folks. This is from, where's it from, Randy?
Oh, it's from a thing called POTUS Report.
POTUS Report, okay.
Number of Americans given up U.S. citizenship skyrockets this year. According to the updates coming from the various sources, and according to a report by Bainbridge Accountants New York, Americans are renouncing their U.S. citizenship in record numbers this year. More than twice the number of Americans have given up their U.S. citizenship in the first half of 2020 compared to the entirety of 2019. In the first 6 months of this year, 5,816 Americans expatriated, according to the report. Only 2,072 Americans gave up their citizenship in 2019 as a whole. The first two quarters of 2020 logged the highest and second highest numbers on record of Americans renouncing their citizenship. The report said with the first 3 months of the year seen a record of 2,909 giving up citizenship. The report also said until this year, the number of Americans expatriating had been in steep decline since 2017. To renounce their citizenship, Americans must pay a fee of $2,350. Alistair Bainbridge, partner at a Bainbridge Accountants New York, a firm that specializes in U.S. expatriate tax policy, U.K. expatriates policies, actors, other creatives in two countries, said he believes the spike is due to COVID-19, politics, and taxes. He said in the report, quote, "The huge increase in U.S. expatriates renouncing from our experience is that the current pandemic has allowed individuals the time to review their ties to the United States and decide that the current political climate and annual U.S. tax reporting is just too much to bear."
What's your opinion?
I think that, look, I mean, if you've been overseas making excuses for American leadership around the world to foreign governments that actually have gone to war for America through the Iraq War, the first Iraq War, the second Iraq War, the war in Afghanistan, and you've had to more or less defend it. And that's what Americans overseas have to do sometimes. We have to stick up for our country. And when Donald Trump got elected, it became very, very difficult to stick up for your country anymore.
Yeah.
And the idea that instead of going after, you know, large corporations who pay very minimal taxes, to go after expats because it's easy. You know, if you're an expat, you're a billionaire or a millionaire or you're, you know, hiding funds. Yeah, I get that. But every person who's an American citizen overseas has to file a tax return. And usually they have to pay between $1,400 and $2,000 to have a tax attorney do it.
Hmm.
And not only that, if you don't want to be part of America anymore because you're sick of that brouhaha, they'll charge you to leave.
Yeah.
Which makes
$3,000. Yeah.
That's the only reason people are staying is because they can't afford to get out. I myself am absolutely, I've been an American citizen because I'm a proud American.
Yeah.
I really am a proud American. And people don't understand the absolute awfulness of having to make excuses for this.
Be an apologist for Donald Trump.
People are scared. If you talk to people in this country, they are scared. And that's true from all so many expats that I talk to, that they are absolutely petrified. And here, of course, you have what's happened in China. And what's happened in China would not be going on if Barack Obama was still in charge. And that's on our doorstep here in Australia. So
yeah, we're closer to China than we are to the U.S.
Yes, we are. So there are many reasons. And I think those top four are, one, Trump. Two, what's the number two on?
Trump.
Yeah, Trump. That's it.
My father still says, oh, you can't vote. You don't live here. Like it's where you're domiciled.
Yeah, you know, but here's the thing, Randy, is that the people who live in this country, if there is a war and Donald goes crazy, which, by the way, is completely possible.
Yeah.
We're the ones that die. The majority of people that die when America goes to war aren't Americans.
No.
And they don't have the privilege of voting for a game show host to have nuclear weapons. So all these people in America, in Australia, in Europe, in Canada, in South America, they're all along for the ride. And it's a scary friggin' ride. Because we don't know what he's going to do next because he's crazy.
Look, you know, our friends here in Australia often know more about U.S. politics than the average American. And they ask us, you know, how is President Trump? I heard he's done this. He's done this. And they do. I go into a shop. How's your friend Donald?
Yeah. I've lived here
for 45 years.
I know. And he is... I never thought that you'd come to a situation where I was fully sometimes ashamed.
Yeah.
You know, I was ashamed during George W. Bush's presidency.
I told people I was Canadian, eh?
Yeah. You know, and I tell them I'm an American because I'm an American.
Mm-hmm.
I love my country. But the fact that people who love their country are having to leave it is the sad state of affairs that America is in right now. We need to get this guy out of it. Well,
Well, I guess that's it for this show, Randy. That was
yeah. Audio tracks from three videos and some extra bits just for the audio audience.
Just for our audio audience. Just for our loyal guys out there. We want to say goodbye, and we want to say goodbye to Val.
Val of Glen Falls, New York.
Our number one fan.
His name's Randy too.
And Val and Randy. I want to say hello to David. I want to say hello to Faith. I want to say hello to all our fans all across America. We have little dribs and drabs everywhere. We're there for you guys, and we're going to look forward to talking to you through this crazy next 2 months.
Yeah.
So we'll see you next time, folks.
So long,
Randy.
We'll meet again.
So long, guys. Goodbye.